grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5. As we continue here on the drive home at 5 with yours truly, Curtis Sliwa. And as you know, I have fashioned myself over the years as an AMP Catholic. Ashes on Wednesday, palms on Sunday, then you don't see me for a month of Sundays. And incredibly, the crew here, especially the two hipsters and millennials, the Doubting Thomases here, Justin B. Love, our producer, and Brian Mongalooch with his skinny jeans, his man bun, and his Converse canvas sneakers. They said, wait a second. When you did the show with Rita Cosby from 12 to 3, as you do every Monday through Friday from 12 to 3, you didn't have your ashes yet. And then all of a sudden, between shows, you now have your ashes. Well, you know, there's a church, St. Francis, that runs a pantry right across the street. What makes you think I didn't queue up for my ashes there? Why are you looking at me as if I walked down the car to John Taransky's desk and used his ashtray there and put ashes on my forehead and went into Chris Libertini's studio, who does all of our sounding, and took his ashes, huh? You know, you really are jaded and skeptic, you hipsters and millennials. But there's a lot of jaded and skeptic legislators up on the Hill, and I got to believe some of them are Republicans, not just Democrats, who are always jaded and skeptical to anything that comes out of the West Wing of the White House. Because yesterday, the brand new FBI director, we're not talking Comey. Remember, he's out. He was fired by Trump. We're not talking McCabe, who is the deputy director of the FBI. He's retired early. We're talking Wray, who was appointed after Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie made the recommendation to Donald Trump personally. Remember, Wray, the new FBI director, was actually one of the lead attorneys for Chris Christie during Bridgegate. He held on to the cell phone that was needed during that prosecution that all of a sudden Wray and the others, Randy Mastro, former deputy mayor in the Giuliani administration representing Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie, said, I don't know. It's disappeared. But he is our FBI director now. And naturally, he's right out of Central Casting. You know, he looks like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He used to be on the old FBI show. But he said something that had to cause a lot of agita in the West Wing of the White House. He disagreed with the timeline that had been given about how Ron Porter had been extricated from the administration. And when they knew that he had been an assaulter of both of his wives, listen to the FBI director yesterday on the Hill.
The FBI submitted a partial report on the investigation in question in March, and then a completed background investigation in late July. That is, soon thereafter, we received requests for follow-up inquiry. And we did the follow-up and provided that information in November, and then we administratively closed the file in January. And then earlier this month, we received some additional information, and we passed that on as well.
Wow. Boy, that's a lot different than the narrative given to us by the White House that said they knew just about the time the Daily Mail had contacted them, maybe about 2 weeks ago, said they had some information about Ron Porter. They were going to run with the story about him assaulting his two previous wives. On the line to discuss that, Scotty Nell Hughes, Republican grassroots strategist. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5 again, Scotty.
And thank you for having me. And Curtis, what this comes down to, it's all about trust. It's all about, listen, we all know that we're all human. We all know that we make mistakes. And one of the reasons why people voted for President Trump over Hillary Clinton was the fact that they could trust. They might not like what he said, But at least they could trust that that was him saying it. It was what he believed to be somewhat of the truth. Unfortunately, what this is doing is it chipping away at the trust that people have in the West Wing from his base, not necessarily the left or his opponent, but it's the people that actually support him are going, wait a minute, this is conflicting. You can't say it and it just becomes reality. The timelines aren't matching up. And I have to say, even before that, I believe the FBI's timeline, because that's exactly the timeline that I've been told. But let's also look at it. This man was chief of staff for Orrin Hatch. He worked for Senator Mike Lee. Why was this man allowed to continue to advance his career and get so close when he had these two outstanding, very big red flags that would not make me want him to be around anything that has to do with national security?
But now, Scotty, we saw on Saturday the president address this really in public statements that he made. In fact, if we could go back to the original statement that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, made, where he was criticized because he didn't seem to show any empathy or sympathy for the two wives who clearly had been interviewed by the FBI, so they risked lying to them. They could have been arrested for that. And they had provided documentary information, including that picture we all saw of the one wife with the black eye, the China. Anyway, this is what the president said on Saturday.
We wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it. But we certainly wish him well. It's a obviously tough time for him. He did a very good job when he was in the White House. It was very sad when we heard about it, and certainly he's also very sad. Now, he also, as you probably know, he says he's innocent, and I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
And he said, whatever happened to due process. What was your reaction, Scotty, when you heard the president say that?
And this is coming from me. Extreme disappointment. I will say this. I do believe that the only person in the White House that did not have an idea that Rob Porter had a background of violence and did not have a violent temper was probably the president himself. And that was because Rob Porter was the person in charge of getting the president the information of the day. So I doubt Rob said, hey, by the way, President, here's your coffee, here's your Wall Street Journal, and here's the description of my domestic violence report that my wife had filed against me with a restraining order. I doubt that. I guarantee the president probably did not know this until it became headlines. But that does not mean that there's not accountability and others didn't know, including the chief of staff. And I'm not necessarily putting this on General Kelly. I am putting this on Reince Priebus, and I'm putting it on the general counsel, whose job was to make sure that these sorts of things did not happen to the president. So I was very disappointed in the president, the way he handled it. But then again, once again, we're finding out that the president's not being told everything. And at that point, I would really like to know, what had the president been told? Had he been shown the police reports? Had he been shown? But even then, it really doesn't excuse it. He should have just said this: I stand with domestic violence victims 100%. He missed a great opportunity right here.
Well, you try to make amends for that. Just moments ago, Scotty Nail used, this is what the president said about domestic violence on this St. Valentine's Day.
I am totally opposed to domestic violence of any kind. Everyone knows that, and it almost wouldn't even have to be said. So now you hear it, but you all know it.
Now, I got to tell you, Scotty, looking at it and listening to it, it almost sounded like a hostage video.
Well, and here's the thing. He can say that, and that's a given. I think he's right. He shouldn't have said it. But what he should have said is, I'm also opposed to the people who commit domestic violence. That's what he should have said. And that's we know nobody's for domestic violence, necessarily. Nobody wants it. I think those people that are in the middle of it. But they also need to stand up against the people that are doing it. And that's where the president has to make some hard decisions right now, looking at his own staff. And I definitely think that everybody in elected office right now needs to be looking at their own staff and looking at themselves and making sure that their own staffs are being held to this type of to this level, because that's what we're dealing with right here, and that's the movement that we're in.
Now, there is a third member apparently earlier today in the West Wing of the White House who has submitted his resignation. We saw obviously Porter. We saw the speechwriter who followed. There is now a third person who has submitted his resignation because there is a hint that he, too, also has been charged in the past, or at least accused of domestic violence. Is Is this a rush to judgment? Are these men dropping like flies? Is the president somewhat right that this is without due process?
Not at all. And first of all, that third story is continuing to change. When he first came out, he said it was because of some marijuana use back in 2013, recreational. We're finding out that that obviously would not get you taken out of a background check with this. No, because here's the thing. If you're an innocent man and you're being accused of it, you will stand your ground and you will fight for it. These men are dropping back before it actually gets to that point. And that's what I have to wonder right now. Some of these guys are dropping back. They're probably going, you know what? They're going to start looking at all of us. I might as well just get ahead of it and not cause any more pain to my family than I've already caused.
Do appreciate that. That's Scotty Nell Hughes, Republican grassroots strategist. And the White House, which should be doing so well now, a poll has just been released. It says that the president is liked by 47% of the country, disliked by about close to 47%, which is back to where the election figures were. And there's like a swing of 3 to 6% of people who aren't sure either way. Well, that's a tremendous improvement from where he was, based obviously on the economy, the tax cut. But this story will certainly again cause ruptures in that support, particularly amongst women. And maybe many of the women who had originally voted for Donald Trump against Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
If you're the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
As the trial continues in the case against the very dear Cumbaricic of Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, who is plunging in the polls. That's right, a recent Siena poll, because of all these corruption allegations against his aide-de-camps, have caused his numbers to tumble in this a gubernatorial re-election year. So what did he do? He went out and got a new doggy, a little puppy dog, to try to soften his image. Yeah, you can't soften that Bruta Facch. No way. And as we go to the trial that's had its ups and downs, especially in the form of the guy who was trying to pin blame on him, that he was being wined, dined, and wanted to be pocket line Pococo. And I'm talking about, he's a waspy guy. Remember, he gets busted. He gets busted on Friday, taken out of court, Todd Howe, the lead prosecution witness, because he lied in his cooperation agreement with the feds. And so the argument was, should he be brought in his orange jumpsuit or a suit and tie to continue to testify? And even I have to admit, as much as I'm rooting for Ted Howe's testimony to influence a jury of 12 to find Joe Pococo guilty as charged, man, does he come with a lot of baggage. I mean, not only has he been a liar for hire for years, but he tried to screw with the FBI, which Joe Pococo and Andrew Cuomo and the other three Italians in prosecution are now claiming stands for the acronym Forever Busting Italians. So I don't know what impact this is going to have on a jury, because the jury knows that the very guy that they were listening to testimony from, Todd Howe, last week, was in an orange jumpsuit over the weekend in federal prison downtown, right below the Manhattan facility that is hosting that court trial. That's right, the Southern District. And that he appeared and had to acknowledge that, yeah, he got busted for violating his agreement with the feds. Now, he's looking at major charges. And if the feds decide that his testimony has not been good enough, which only comes about if the jury finds Joe Pococo and his three other colleagues guilty of all charges and they end up doing some serious time, the feds may renege on maybe what they had promised Todd Howe, the liar for hire. Because he clearly is. He's like a Hessian. He's a mercenary. This guy lied for Cuomo in his administration. This guy lied as a lobbyist. And quite frankly, if I were a juror, as much as I would have to recuse myself, because clearly I want to find Pococo guilty. He's a leg breaker. He's the wartime consigliere. And he has been raising a lot of scaro for Andrew Cuomo for governor for years. In fact, the Cuomo war chest for reelection is now at $30 million. And you can bet a lot of it was because Joe Pococo went in and threatened people to kneecap them. Yeah, that was his style of business. But even if I was on the jury now, I'd have to wonder, Todd Howe is a, what can we call him? He is a prolific liar. I don't think the guy can tell the truth. And so if all of a sudden you want to believe he's telling the truth, how do you match it up with all the other lies he's told? And that's not to say there haven't been cooperators and informants and others who have testified in other trials who themselves were sullied by the fact that they couldn't tell the truth. Well, the trial continues, and you know it will be prime time here on The Drive Home at 5.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel found a Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
Like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me.
As we
unwind,
continue here, The Drive Home at 5. It's our friend from the Star Ledger, columnist Paul Molshine, who at first I didn't even recognize. And yet he was in that crowd of the many who watched the documentary Vigilante last night. Thanks for having schlepped up here, Paul.
It was a lot of fun. Great documentary.
Not only that, but Paul was standing right next to me, and one of your fellow New Jersey residents had actually brought me a lid of pot, 28 ounces of pot. He receives medical marijuana. He's got the card, and he said, I understood that you're in a lot of pain and strain. I brought this lid for you. Wasn't that a great thing for a New Jersey guy to do for a New Yorker?
That was really nice of him. I thought it was very considerate.
Yeah, meantime, 5-0 was downstairs ready to clip me. What, do you think I'm a sucker, Paul? I knew what was up. But anyway, you yourself, you missed your train back, New Jersey Transit, and that means you're waiting a month of Sunday. So what did you do in the interim?
I asked where the nearest bar was, so Justin, your producer, told me that. I said, there's an Irish bar nearby, but it's a dive, but it's got good Guinness. And I said, well, that sounds perfect. And then I went over there, and it was the most surreal scene of my life. I go in, for some reason, they got the Westminster Dog Show on at volume I haven't heard since Woodstock. I mean, it was, like, incredibly loud. And everybody's sitting there like it's normal. I had one Guinness, and my daughter came in when I was meeting her there, and she was like, this is bizarre. It's like some kind of strange movie where this thing is going on. The guy's shouting about the dogs, and everybody's shouting over it, and the commercials are so loud. And I asked the bartender to turn it down, but he didn't. So anyhow. But well, the funny part about that was, when I wrote the other day about the lack of liquor licenses in New Jersey, that was a classic case, now that I think of it, because the minute I left that bar, I walked 3 feet, and there was another bar. So, you know, in my column, the guy I quoted said, in New York City, there's bars that are 5 feet apart, and he wasn't wrong, because they permit anybody to get a liquor license.
Well,
but
Paul,
Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, but Paul, this is what I don't understand. They're arguing about whether eventually there should be storefronts that can legally sell recreational marijuana. Explain to us, because we probably don't understand here in New York, Connecticut, or Pennsylvania, why it's difficult for some people in New Jersey to get a liquor license who didn't just get out of Trenton State.
Because the lobby for all the liquor license holders in 1947 bribed our legislature to cap the licenses and say no more licenses would be issued. Well, of course, this meant they would never have competition for the rest of their lives. The problem is, when they capped them, places like Hoboken had 50 bars. Hoboken's 1 square mile. It's got 50 bars. Tom's River, where I grew up, has 44 square miles, way more population than Hoboken, but it's only got 45 bars. So you got 1 per square mile in Toms River, 50 per square mile in Hoboken, and they're defending that as if it makes sense. And the crazy thing about it is they sell these licenses. The guy who got the license can sell it for $1 million. It's like, it's as if you got done driving. You said, oh, yeah, I'll sell my driver's license. I'll get $50,000 for it, you know? Makes no sense at all. And the worst part is, when these licenses go up for sale, the only people that can afford them are the giant, TGIF, those kinds of places, Applebee's. So you end up with, where I live, nothing but these giant, bland, horrible places out on the highway. Now, they're all out on the highway. They don't want us to drink and drive, but But they came up with a system, so all the bars are out on the highway, because when you've got a big bar like that, you need a lot of parking. And it's just an absurd system, and there's some hope it might finally change. I don't know. Our legislature is so corrupt that every time they have a hearing on it, the only question the legislators ask is, how will that impact the existing bar owners? And my answer is, who cares?
Right, but Paul, it's interesting because as malls are being vacated, it would offer opportunities to those big corporations that you said to put in these mega bars into the empty space, and you got to drive there. And as you pointed out, it's like driving back after a Giants game where everyone is tanked up.
Yeah, and the thing is, now the guy who was proposing this, the mall developer who was proposing it before the legislature last week, said the problem in New Jersey is restaurants cannot get licenses. And if a restaurant can't sell booze, that's, you know, beer and wine at least, that's half the profit.
Mm.
I've had restaurant friends try to run restaurants without licenses. You can't make a profit. The food costs so much. But, you know, this guy was saying, if you could just let these places get a beer and wine license, just little mom and pop 1,500-foot restaurants, right, then at least there'd be some business that might want to locate in all this vacant storefront we have here out here in suburbia. They got to do something. I mean, it's crazy because they're choking off commerce, and in this state, we need all the commerce we can get.
Oh, absolutely, and it's amazing. If they legalize recreational pot, a lot of those empty spaces will be turned into supermarkets where you can go in and analyze the buds and buy your strains, but you won't be able to get a drink. That's because they wouldn't have a chance yet to have wine-dined and pocket-lined the officials in corrupt Trenton.
77 WABC. The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
It was supposed to be good times in the North Shore of Staten Island. Developers had assured everyone that they would build a 630-foot observation wheel that would be the largest in the world, larger than what exists in Las Vegas and London. And they've already begun the construction there. And next to it, a mall that would obviously feed off of the Wonder Wheel in Staten Island, next to Staten Island Yankee Stadium and the North Shore Terminal of the Staten Island Ferry, that would be bringing tourists in. A great idea! And now it's become the Woolman Rink. That's right. It has come to a complete standstill, which reminded me, based on what the president said the other day, of how he is the master builder, he is the master resurrector.
When I did the Woolman Rink, it was 7 years. They couldn't get it built. It would have been forever. They couldn't get it built. And I did it in a few months at a much smaller price. They had invested $12 million in building an ice skating rink in the middle of Central Park. Somebody told me about this the other day. They've never forgotten it. It was a big deal at the time. It remains a big deal.
It is. I give you credit, Donald Trump. You rescued the Woolman Rink in the Ed Koch administration, in which they were hopelessly inept. But it's National Ferris Wheel Day today. And this Ferris wheel is dead on arrival in the North Shore Staten Island. Except, think of it, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump have taken over the Trump Corporation. They have become the master builders. Wouldn't it be so nice if the Trump family could do it twice? They rescued the Woolman Rink when it was just solely Donald Trump in charge. Wouldn't it be nice if Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump would say, we can revive the Wonder Wheel in Staten Island, the mall that's being built next to it, and make it the economic dynamo it was supposed to be for Staten Island and the city of New York. Once again, it would be the Trumps to the rescue. This time, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump.